Anyway, I got to give you a little test. You know, that's a teacher in me, I guess. What was the first sermon about? Those of you that were here, do you remember the title? That's what I thought.
Wait on God.
God's got this.
God's
got this. What was the second title? Mark gave it.
Holy convocation. We need to be holy.
We need to be holy. I think that's very interesting. That's the only way we're going to be holy, because God's got this, right? And when we think about it from that point, what was the third message?
Thus saith the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord. That was Tom. So you put those together, it's an interesting message that he's given us. We're here on holy ground, and he's got it. But thus saith the Lord. So we've got to pay attention to what he says. I find that very interesting. And then, of course, Larry talked about the world situation, what we're in. We need to be watching and be aware of what's happening around us. I find this very interesting, and we're looking at some of the situation in the world today. And even in our fellowship, the ecclesia, they called out, the ones all over the world. We have a battle going on. And that battle is won already, but let's see if I can get this thing to work here. Interesting. Let's see if I can get the mouse to wake up. You don't want to wake up.
It's moving. You got it.
Okay. Here we go. Let's see here. Got so many files on here, I gotta find the right one. Whoops, that's good.
Don't scroll angry.
Yeah.
You know, I did that to let you wake up. No, not really. It's just that I am very, very cautious. All right. I got to get through all this stuff here. My main computer crashed, so I had to get a different one. And I got to get rid of all this stuff. I want to talk today a little bit about hearing. I find it pretty interesting that we got censored, or a warning of censor on this, on the YouTube channel. And I find that very interesting, because my message today is about not stopping your ears so you can hear what's going on, what God has to say. Physical Israel did that a lot. Let me read something, though, first, in that chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah, I love Isaiah because it's kind of a Bible to itself. But it's chapter 45. Chapter 45. And I find it very interesting what it says here in light of what I just said. Then we go to verse 18. Chapter 45 of Isaiah, verse 18. For thus saith the Lord, that created the heavens, God himself, that fortified the earth and made it and has established it. He created it. Not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. Kind of fits thus says the Lord, doesn't it? It also fits holy ground. We're standing on holy ground and we are to love one another, as Mark brought out. Very interesting. Verse 19. I have not spoken in secret in the dark place of the earth. I said, not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. The Lord speaks righteousness, and I declare things that are right. So again, why would people want to shut down the internet for one reason or another? What's the main reason? I find that very interesting because they don't want to hear what's being said. And this is what God's people have done down through the years and ages. And I'm talking God's people. I'm talking all of God's people, all of his children, not just the called ones. But, you know, they stop the ears and they don't understand. So I'm going to go through. Well, let me read a little more here. Verse 20 of Isaiah 45. Assemble yourselves and come and draw near together. And ye that are escaped of the nations, that you have no knowledge that's set upon the word and their graven image and prayed unto the God that cannot save. You see, that's the problem. All the world and all of our carnal minds, if we have any left, we're supposed to be getting rid of them, but we don't want to listen to God. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And what's it say? They are not grievous. They are not grievous. We're standing on holy ground when we read the word of God. It's holy ground. It's not just some writing of Plato or whatever. No, it's holy ground. And when we're standing on holy ground, we need to pay attention. Don't stop our ears. Verse 21. Yea, tell me, and bring them here, and let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from the ancient of time. Who hath hold to it? From the time I have not, I am the Lord, and there is no God else besides me, a just God, a Savior, and there is none besides me. That's pretty powerful words. That's back to thus saith the Lord, isn't it? Do we really believe it? Do we really believe that God has got this? When we are trying to understand and read the Word of God and we don't really understand exactly what we read, what do we need to do? We need to listen to what the Word says. Sometimes it's to stand in a quiet, still place to hear what he's really given you. So I'm going to go through this sermon really fast just a moment here. I'll show you what I mean. So don't get too excited. This is the first page, and I'm going to go all the way to the last page. All the way down to the last page. All the way down to the last page. Guess what? Oh. Ask an open-ended question. Has to do with attentive listening skills. We need to be asking ourselves, what is God talking to me about? You know, this message was prepared for me today, here. Today, this message is for me. What is God telling me as an individual? Every individual in here has needs and desires and wants. We need to be connecting and asking God, what is it you're trying to show me today in your word? What is the direction wherein we can be? Request clarification. Ask God. If you didn't quite get what I read here a moment ago, ask God. What's he talking about? What do you mean you haven't spoken in secret? Because I don't understand it. Clarify it for me, please. Let me hear what the Spirit has to say unto the churches. Right? Very interesting. Be attentive. Don't just sit there and think, oh, well, this is another boring sermon. I've heard this many times before. And that preacher, he is something else. He's as boring as the day is long. But the Word of God is not boring. Ask for clarification. Then summarize it in your mind. Meditate. Take it in. Ingest it. Don't block it in the ear channel. And that's it. What we do is with our carnal thoughts and minds. A lot of times our own ideas raise up above what is really written in the Word of God. Our bias, our past teaching. For myself, I was raised a Lutheran. I say a rebellious Catholic. But I tell you what, I had learned a lot by not following the doctrines of catechism. actually. And when you look at that, and then again, when my journey over the years, I realized there's one voice that I need to listen to, and that's God's word. These other voices, they're just like a, you ever had a bug in your ear? You understand what I'm talking about if you have a bug in your ear, how it buzzes in there and it really interferes, or ringing in your ears, it interferes. Just like here, during Thomas' message, I was in a lot of pain. It affected me. And I had Diane go over the notes with me to understand what Tom was trying to get across to me, because it was hard for me to concentrate. I had a ringing in my ears. Satan was trying to destroy that message, thus saith the Lord. Frank, you need to understand that. That's a meal that I set before you. Don't let it fall to the ground. And, you know, reflective with feelings. Have to have rid of the feelings. We got to have emotion. Do you love the Word of God? I hope so. I hope today I can stir you to love it even more. If you have love, as Mark was talking about, love for one another. Holy ground. Love comes first. We're in holy ground. The people that are around us today, do you love them? Do you really love them? I was thinking about that today without, I'm kind of an emotional character. But each individual in here is special to me, even if I don't know you. Why? Because God's working with you in tender, loving care and taking you by the neck or by the hair, whatever it is, to get you into the kingdom. Try not to be so stubborn and rebellious. Help us to understand, O Lord. Give us the power and the strength to comprehend what you're saying to us. Yes, be attuned to those feelings of those people around you. When we offend other people, then the other person needs to be carrying that load. But we also need to be carrying that load to realize the offense was not a good thing. It's not what we want. We don't want separation. We want love for one another, compassion, to hear what the Word of God actually says. Well, I'm not going to let you off that easy. I'm going to go back up to the top. It's too bad about that. You're stuck with it. Page after page after page after page. These are mostly all scriptures, by the way. I find this very interesting, this picture right here. Because a lot of times, this is what happens when, let me put it this way. When somebody comes to you, even in the fellowship, comes to you with a different idea and you totally disagree with that idea, well, maybe you better stop and think about it a little bit, at least consider what the other person said. And maybe the person that's doing the thinking ought to consider what the other person is thinking. And then we'll have peace. Then we'll have love and compassion. My mouse wants to go to the back again. Or maybe somebody's praying that. Look at the ear itself. The ear itself is very, very important as far as our spiritual understanding is concerned. We just read that God created all these things for a purpose. Not in vain. The ear is picturing our salvational walk. Did you know that? Everything in that ear points to us understanding spiritual truth if we pay attention and don't block it. We don't block it with ideas and, with my past. Understand, read it afresh. Because when I was reading my Bible, it had left out the second commandment. He left it out. So then when I got a different Bible, the second commandment was in there. I thought, what is this? See, I had to relearn the Ten Commandments in order because it was left out. They split the last commandment into two, making ten. So I had to relearn it. And if you know my problem, which is a huge one. I have a problem with dysglexia in my eyes. And trying to get those numbers right, I already wrestled with it to get them right in the first place. Now I got to do it all over again. It's not that easy. My boss told me one time when I was teaching that it's kind of like taking a 3x5 card, putting it on your forehead, and writing your name. Because you have to concentrate that hard. Depends how bad you have it, and I had it bad. But you look at that situation. See, that's the way it is with spiritual understanding. We've got it all wrong. The carnal mind is enmity against God and isn't subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So what can we do about it? Concentrate, as I said, be alert. Follow those things, be sensitive. Summarize the thoughts. Don't let that buzzing in the ear of that past knowledge infect what you're reading today. It's easier said than done. I understand that. And most of you know that Worldwide went through a transition. And when it went through a transition, back to what I was originally was really hard for me because I hated to go back to where I was. I wanted to understand the truth of God, not be perverted by the teachings of man and the doctrines that they have laid forth. I wanted to be fed with the true word of God. The holy ground that Mark was talking about. We're here on holy ground. Is it holy? Do we cherish it? Do we cherish the brethren that are here? Do we understand that the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and cuts to the very marrow of the bone? What is that? It's just a phrase? No, it's not. It means it has to get to your very structure, the thing that supports you and gives you power and strength to even move an arm. Let the sinew that got to have something to grab a hold of. The power and strength of God's might is connected to you through the power of His Spirit. And then, of course, we go down through it. Let me scroll down here a little bit. If I keep from breaking my mouse again. Here we go. Summarizing. The normal hearing function. Sound is transmitted through the air. This is sound waves through the environment. The sound waves are gathered by the outer ear and sent down the ear canal to the eardrum. They're gathered. We have to have a spiritual place to catch it. That's what the church is all about. That's why we shall have a holy convocation upon the holy days. We shall have a gathering place where we can come together and hear God's word. But we got to get rid of this obstruction, all this obstruction in our ear, in that ear canal, so it can actually get down to what it's called. The sound waves cause the eardrum to vibrate. And they set three tiny bones in the middle of the ear into motion. Bones? Three little tiny bones. And they've got to be in motion. You've got to have an action. In other words, when we hear the word of God, we need to respond. It's just three little tiny bones vibrating, right? The motion of these three bones caused the fluid in the inner ear to move. Did you catch it? The fluid, the type of God's Spirit, that motion, that meditation, that one of the tools that are in our spiritual toolbox, the meditation causes it to move and actually goes from the brain to the heart. That's what it's all about. Transformation. Transformation from the carnal thinking to the spiritual. The movement of the fluid in the inner ear causes the hair cells in the follicles there to bend. And the hair cells change in movement into what? Electrical impulses. Interesting. You got to have electricity to function our brain and to hear as well. We have got to be connected to the Spirit of God, which is the power of God that gives us the understanding that we need. That's why they had to wait 50 days for the Spirit to come. They didn't understand it. They didn't understand what God was telling. Even God's called children didn't understand what he was saying to them. This body must be killed and resurrected 3 days. What are you talking about? Aren't you going to take over the kingdom right now? Aren't you going to set up your kingdom right now? No, I'm not. That's a later time. That's according to the plan that I've set down in the holy days. Interesting. There's three major things. Remember there's three bones? There's three major things that God does with these holy days. Sabbath is what? God is a creator. The holy days, the annual holy days, God has a redeeming plan. The new moons, picture restoration. All three are important. We have an opportunity here to understand through the ear, just the way God designed the ear, to understand spiritual things. These electrical impulses are transmitted into authority, ordinary nerve, auditory nerve, and up to the brain, where they are interpreted as sound. Did you catch it? Interpreted as sound. When the words of God are spoken and read, or you read them and you're studying, you're meditating on them, they must be interpreted by God's Spirit. It's got to be that electrical impulse. Because without it, you're not going to understand what you read. It's not going to happen. When I sat in those sermons where they were trying to bring back and destroy the truth of God, I don't want to get too personal, but I'll tell you what. It was very, very upsetting to me. Because when you look at the Word of God and somebody trying to destroy it, that's destroying some of God's children through deception and deceit. That buzzing in the ear, transforming the Word of God into something that's not real. But it is real. The Word of God is very powerful. Let's go to Proverbs 20, verse 12. If we could tip this a little better. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. He says it twice. If he's saying it twice, we need to pay attention. Right? He made them. So don't you think he can help us understand his word? Psalms 94:9. He planted the ear. Shall he not hear? The one that planted the ear, can he not hear? When we're reading his word and we don't understand it, we need to ask him. He can hear. He understands. We have a need. God's got it. Remember one of the messages? What's he got? Do you know what he's got? He's got you in the palm of his hand, next to his heart, next to his bosom. He's got you. All we have to do is crawl up in the lap. I'm reminded when I was a young kid, I suppose I was probably about 5 years old, I did something wrong, and I knew I did, and my dad was going to punish me, and he was good at punishing on the rear end. And I'm telling you, I was scared because I knew I had it coming. But this, my dad was not a very affectionate individual, but he picked me up, put him in his lap, and just talked to me. And I tell you, I sat there and cried my eyes out. I was guilty. And I knew I did wrong. And I wanted to please my dad. Do we want to please our Father in heaven? When we do something wrong, he's going to take us up and put him in his bosom. He's going to hold us dear. He's going to guide us gently. Right? It's interesting. He's planted the ear. He can hear. He formed the eye. Shall he not see? He knows what you're up to. He knows very well what you're up to. Mouse again. Exodus 15:26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently, wow, that's a pretty powerful word. Hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, thus saith the Lord, right? And will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And you know that is so true. Somebody said amen, and that's absolutely true. He can do these things. But there is a qualifier. Diligently. If you have a problem. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He doesn't say you're not going to have any problems. Psalms 34:19 tells you you are. But always a way of escape. Always a way of escape. Let's go on. Exodus 21:6. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door, the outer door, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. This is a slave that wants to stay under the tutelage of the master. He's going to get an awl in his ear. I heard a sermon quite a few years ago now by a friend of mine, and it was called The Circumcised Ear. I thought that was very interesting. You know, if we have a circumcised ear, what is that? Interesting question. How can you circumcise your ear? A lot of times, it's just plain what I'm talking about. Don't stop your ears to the Word of God by all this junk that wants to stop it. All the false doctrines that's out there on the internet and every place else that we go and in the churches. Go to the Word of God. Find out what it says for yourself. When the minister, and I've seen quite a few sermons like that, where they stopped right in the middle of the verse and didn't tell you what the verse really said. Prime example of that is that they came together on the first day of the week. Then they stop. Don't read it, the rest of it. You know, I find that very interesting. If you read around there, you'll find out even the next Sabbath day they came together. Gentiles alike. Very interesting. So they didn't stop their ears. God makes a statement. It's not in my notes, but it's coming in my head. What's the statement he makes? Come, let us reason together. Let us reason together. How are you going to reason together if you don't go to the throne of God and stand on holy ground? How are you going to reason together if you come to God and tell him you know everything? It's not going to happen, is it? You're telling God you know more than he does? Come on, let's get real. We need to understand that he made the ear, he made the eye, he made all of the things that you are. He's in the process of creating something new in you now, and me. Exodus 29:20. Thou shalt kill the ram and take the blood and put it upon the tip of thy right ear of Aaron and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons and upon the thumb of the right hand and upon the great toe and the right toe and sprinkle the blood on the altar round about. Interesting. Why in the world is that scripture in there? It doesn't mean anything. Why would you take this blood and put it on an ear? On the right ear. It has to be circumcised. The right hand has to be doing God's work. The feet got to be, you know, shod with the perspiration of truth, headed to the kingdom of God. And it all has to be covered with blood. We can't do it without it. There's no way we can enter into the kingdom without being purified. The high priest that went into the altar once a year had to go through a ceremony himself to be justified, offer up blood and so forth, and put on the garments, the right garments, the fine linen garments, which is a picture of righteousness of the saints. Interesting. See, there's a lot going on here. We need to listen to what God is saying. We need to be under the blood of the Messiah on our ear and on our feet and basically on our thumb. I'll skip ahead here, the right hand. I had the Hebrew there for it, but I know I don't have enough time to go through all these things. But you know, you look at it again, Leviticus 8:23. He slew it, and Moses took the blood and put it upon the tip of Aaron's ear and upon the thumb of his right hand and upon his great toe, his right toe, his right foot. See, he was told to do something, and he did it. Shock! God's people don't always do that. You know, over the years, I've noticed that, I'm going to say it, there seems to be a pattern. You might call it first love, battery run down. But there are some brethren that it doesn't do it to. They're just zealous. They are just zealous for the Word of God. And every time they pick it up, they find something new. As I gave in my first message, there is a principle there. We've got to seek. Daniel sought for, 3 weeks? Fasting and prayer and meditation. What was he seeking about? He was mourning because somebody had broken the law. Somebody had fallen to the ground. One of those little sparrows out there was being crushed by wrong doctrine, false gods, worshiping them, a God that is no God, instead of the true God. Verse 14, or Leviticus 8, verse 24. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put the blood upon the tip of their right ear, and upon the thumbs in their right hand, and upon their great toes, and upon their right foot or feet, and Moses sprinkled the blood on the altar round about. Is this just a ceremony? This is a picture for us today. We can go to Ephesians and see the armor of God and see what's needed. We need to put it on. The breastplate of righteousness. We need to have those feet shod with the preparation of truth. Interesting. But it's the only way we can do that is we've got to forgive the past, as I talked about before, in the three basic things that we need. Restoration is one of them. But redemption is one of them. And God being the creator is another one. Leviticus 14:14, the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that to be cleansed, upon the thumb of right hand and upon a great toe, the right foot. On him that's to be cleansed. I find that very interesting. Why would he have to put it on the ear? Well, I think we'll find out some of these scriptures later on. Maybe I'll have to skip ahead some here. But you know, let's go down. Deuteronomy 145. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give your ear unto you. I thought you just had to go to God, and it was all taken care of. No, there seems to be something going on here that's necessary. He won't listen unless you're covered with the blood. How are you covered with the blood? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Don't stop it. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. Deuteronomy 32:1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak here, O earth, and the words of my mouth. The words of my mouth. He's talking about the heavenly realm. God's people with the Spirit of God. He's talking about physical Israel. Listen, please, listen. You want to be saved? Listen. 2 Chronicles 24:19. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against him. But they would not give ear. Are you and I listening to his words today? Do we understand that he's talking to us as individuals? Every time we pick up that word of God, do we stop our ears or do we ask God to guide our ears? Let it sink in and let the mind affect the heart. We have a responsibility to do that. We have an opportunity to do that. We don't want to be like this guy. Oh, I heard that sermon before. No big deal. What's it to be? I know all of that. Oh, really? Maybe there was one little thing in there that you didn't know. One little pea on the plate. Spiritual pea that you didn't understand. That was in that message. That was directed right at you. I found that in sermons a lot of times they were directed right at me. Standing on holy ground. Thus saith the Lord. Interesting. That's right at me. Where am I? Think about where I'm at. I'm here in the presence of the Lord Almighty. Right now. Understand that he's watching and observing this. O ye heavens, right? Listen, O ye heavens, right? Let thine ear now be attentive and thy eyes open. Nehemiah 1:6. And thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant. Now he's asking God to listen. Please, God, hear me. I know I'm wrong a lot of times, but help me. You know, I don't want to get too personal, but in my present trial, many times I came to the point where I said, I just can't take it no more. Tears rolling down my cheeks with the pain and thrashing around and yelling. Poor Diane had to put up with it. But guess what? He always comforts me. Never yet has he not comforted me, even in my pain. As we look at God, do we understand that he is loving God? Everything that we go through is for our own good. As I said to him, I don't understand what this is all about, but I know you got it. You got it. You're not dealing me as you have in the past, healing me almost immediately every time I ask you. I don't understand, but I know you do. And there's a definite reason. We need to listen to the reasons. Which I pray now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel. We have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house. He was pleading. When Worldwide was going through their transition, I was pleading with God. In the tears, I was pleading with him. And I was about ready to collapse at church because I was pleading so hard with God. And Diane turns to me and she says, you know, there's an angel holding you up. And I says, I need that. Because I could see what Satan was doing to God's children, destroying their faith, their belief in the truth of God, mourning for the things that are being done in this world. How God is destroyed, the God of this world is destroying the truth. Interesting. Nehemiah 9:30. Yet many years didst thou forbear them and testify against them by the spirit of thy prophets. Yet they would not give ear. Great lesson for us. We need to listen. Listen to what the prophets have to say. For they search the scriptures daily, for in them you know you have eternal life. That's what it says. Do you? Do I know that? In them there is eternal life. But there is a pathway. There's things that must be done in order to do that, to receive it. The called out ones. Job 42 is very interesting. Verse 5. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. What happened? He went through a trial, but now he sees. So the trial was for something good, wasn't it? It wasn't to destroy him or anybody else. Interesting. You know, when we start looking at it from that point of view, what can we say? I think Job kind of had it together. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see. What's the difference? We can read the word of God, but do we understand it? Do we really see the heart of God coming out of it in the pages? Our Messiah says, every word in the Old Testament was written of me, all of it. Interesting. Picturing his demise, you might say, and our redemption. Picturing his, and this kingdom of God shall be set up on the earth, so shall be done on heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Interesting. Psalms 10:17. Lord, thou hast heard the desires of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart, and thou wilt cause their ear to hear. You want to hear what God has to say? Humble thyself. And then you will do that. Isn't that precious? Diane says it is precious. Then we can hear what God has to say. Let's get the earphones on from God when we read the Word of God and humble ourselves and not come to God and say, I've got it all figured out. Well, I know what that scripture says. There is poison. Psalms 58:4. There's poison is like the poison of a serpent. They're like the deep otter and stopped her ear. See, that's what happens when that bug gets in your ear. The bug of insincerity and corruption of God's word. Somebody telling you what God's word says when it really don't say it. Or stopping in the middle of a scripture. I just glared at the minister that day, one day when I was there, when he stopped in the middle of the sermon or the verse, and didn't let the people know the rest. I let him know that I knew what he did. And then I took my friend back to the room and I said to him, did you read that verse? Do you know what that verse says? You know what my friend said? The poison of the otter had already got to him. I says, there's a Bible right here from the Gideons. Go ahead and read it and read the rest of the verse. He said, I won't do it. He stopped his ears because of the poison of the otter, the serpent. Poisoned his ears to listen to the truth. Won't even open the Bible to read the rest of the verse. It's interesting, isn't it? That's what we do. That was really hurt to me because I'd worked with this young kid from Eustace. This size, probably, when I started working with him. And now he was a grown man, have kids of his own. and was being corrupted by false doctrine. Interesting. He planted a ear, verse Psalms 94. Shall he not hear? He formed the eye, shall he not see? Proverbs 2:2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and incline thine heart to understanding. How do you do that? How do you incline your ear to wisdom? Well, number one is you open up your Bible and you read what it's got to say. The beginning of wisdom is what? What's the scripture? Anybody?
Fear
of God is the beginning of wisdom. So there you go. Have respect under that word when you read it. You're standing on holy ground every time you open up that Bible. Did you understand that, what I just said? You are standing on holy ground every time you open up that Bible. Those are God's words. Very powerful. And he's trying to get to you. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words, incline the ear unto my sayings. Proverbs 5:1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thy ear to my understanding. Proverbs 15:31. The ear that heareth and reproveth of life abideth among the wise. Interesting, isn't it? Proverbs 17:4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. See, the individual didn't want to read the Bible. False lips. A lie. Given the ear a naughty tongue. That's what was going on, wasn't it? Destroying the truth of God. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh. I find that interesting. The heart of the prudent. That means you've got to get in there or do something. You've got to do something about what you read consistently. Okay. I'll skip ahead again. You can see up there, when we turn from sin, we turn away from God. Or when we sin, we turn away from God. And when we repent, we turn back towards God. Remember the right toe? The blood on the right toe? We've got to turn back towards God. That's what he was saying. That's what has to happen. If we sin, we turn away from God. But not only we turn away, he turns away. It's a two-way street. Interesting. Interesting. One lady said, I know your secret when you say that. You want me to think about that, what you just said. And I said, yeah, that's right, I do. So I want you to think about that. Isaiah 1:10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of God, ye people of Gomorrah. So he's talking to a bunch of sinners. What is their cure? Remember our Savior said about Sodom and Gomorrah? The judgment would be easier on them than you, you Pharisees. Because if the works that were done in you, they would have repented a long time ago. See? He knows. He understands. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Hear. So there's a lot going on there, isn't there? I think as we continue reading, we'll see a little more here. But Isaiah 28:23. Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. So again, how many, and I haven't read all the scriptures here that I had even up here so far. I skipped over a few. You look at them, and they're all repeating the same thing. They're all kind of pleading to you and I to pay attention to what he has to say in his word. Isaiah 32 verse 9. Isaiah 32 verse 9. Rise up, ye women that are at ease, and hear my voice, ye careless daughters, give ear unto my speech. So, ladies, you're stuck too. We're all in this boat together. We have to do these things. He's provided a way. Isaiah 48, verse 8. Yea, thou heardest not yet, thou knowest not yet, yea, for from the time that thy ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously in waste and call transgressions from the womb. Again, we're looking at the idea, it's another whole sermon, but just an aside. There's this idea that floats around in the church, once saved, always saved, and they're condemned to hell if you don't tell them about Christ today, and this is the only day of salvation. No, this is not the only day of salvation. Everybody is judged on what they know, and our Creator is the judge. We're not. He's the one that's going to open the door or shut the door to the kingdom, not you or I. That doesn't give us the right not to tell people about it, but it does give us the right, so to speak, not to club them over the head. There's a difference. Because we have our Messiah had, I think Mark brought it out, a tax collector, Matthew. And you look at that situation, he was with the sinners, sitting and eating with them, and the Pharisees didn't like that. But he says, he that is sick needs healing. He that is not doesn't need healing. It's interesting, isn't it? I have a saying that I like to say to myself. The Feast of Tabernacles basically is the hospital of God, where God's people can be gathered together from all over the place and be healed of some of the things that they've been thinking and learned some good things. And they can be nourished by the Word of God and be drawn closer together and understand the calling that God has given each and every one of us. Oh yeah, there's you know, tares among the wheat, no problem. But that was by God's design, and that's to prove you now with. That's what he says. He put them there to prove you. Are you going to follow me or not? That's the question. So again, give ear, right? Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season unto him that is weary, and he that waketh in the morning by morning, and he that waketh might hear to hear as we have learned. That's pretty powerful. I was meditating on it as I was reading it, and I think that there's a lot more in there than we think. Because why was it given to him? Because he was seeking, right? And because he was humble. I gave a message quite a few years ago now, I guess, on the Beatitudes. And how the Beatitudes are basically stairway. And when you know, the humble, unto this man will I look. Was poor and contrite of spirit and trembled at my word. But there's another step, and that one, the mourning, the ones that mourn. The ones that mourn. You can't throw the bottom step out. You got to have that in order to have that. Become like little children. Then you can mourn for the things that are done. I find that very interesting. We had a message here yesterday on the idea of what's happening in our culture. Are we mourning about it? Or do we just think, oh, well, I know all of this, and I've heard it before. But did it affect your heart? Did it let you know that we are definitely living in a world that is not God-oriented? We're living in a world that is deceived and set for a road of self-destruction. Because the government and the kingdoms of this world are not of God. They're to destroy. Seeking about whom they may destroy. That's what Satan does. Accusing the brethren daily. That's interesting, isn't it? It's one of the scriptures. Well, let's skip ahead a little bit. Isaiah 53, verse 3. Or 55, verse 3. Isaiah 55, verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, all your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant. Did you catch it? Let me read it again. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant. And you, even the sure mercies of David. Wow. There's a condition, isn't there? Incline your ear. Don't be like that individual with his hands over his ears when you hear the truth of God. Or you think you know it all and you're not listening to what God is saying. Jeremiah, let's skip ahead. Jeremiah 6:10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. Isn't that a sad state? When, you know, knowing what we know, delight thyself. You know, we were admonished earlier to rejoice. The feast is the time of rejoicing. Interesting. Delight thyself in what? What have we been delighted in? Interesting. The Word of God. The Word of God. That's what we to be delighted in. First Jeremiah 7:24. But they hearken not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in a counsel and imagination of their evil heart, and went backward, not forward. See, that's what I've seen with brethren over the years. I've seen people come and go. People that I love dearly stop keeping God's laws. And, you know, one lady came to me and said one time, well, I'm not doing this because of my husband. I'm doing this because I want to. She was being baptized. And I said to her, I said, now be sure of that. Oh, yeah, yeah. About a year later, she quit doing what she said she was going to do. And, well, that's sad. It's sad because she didn't have no root in herself. I'm reminded of the parable of the sower that went out to sow. And we've got to have root. And that's what I'm trying to tell us here today. In order to receive root, we've got to hear what God is saying to you as an individual. Well, they didn't hearken, nor incline their ear, but hardened their neck. And they did worse than their fathers, Jeremiah 7:26. That's what they did. It wasn't that God didn't tell them. It's interesting. And this gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached into all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. It's a witness because they don't respond. We need to respond. They need to hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. I suppose I'm running out of time, so maybe I better go down to skip a whole bunch of scriptures here. Now, don't get too excited because I'm still going to have a couple yet. John 18:26. One of the servants of the high priest, being a kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, said, Do not I see thee in the garden with him? Interesting. He's being accused now, but Peter denied it, right? At this time, Peter denied it. He actually cut off this guy's ear. Now, that's another whole sermon, but I'll just give you a little sidebar on it. When you know, when that ear was cut off, there's a lot of prophecy being involved in that. And his lineage and his relatives and everything else is all connected in there. And then Christ reaching up and healing it is very interesting to me. And it was done to fulfill prophecy. And we start looking at that prophecy that's being fulfilled, that, you know, their ears have to be healed. They have to be healed. He was circumcised, you might say, cut off his whole ear, but it was healed. But here now he's accusing. He didn't learn the lesson, did he? So God speaks, but we need to listen. First Chronicles 2:9, or Corinthians 2:9. But it is written, the eye has not seen, nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared from them that love him. What's he talking about? Because we don't really, as Paul said, we kind of see through this glass dimly. You know, if he allowed the elite of the world, those that aren't called, if he allowed them to see what is their reward, they would all jump in there because they seek for themselves. They would be some of the most look-like Christians you ever seen. And I say look-like, but they wouldn't be true because they're trying to get something for themselves. That's not what the kingdom is all about. And that's why Mark's message on love and holiness is very important to us here this year. Because we need to hold one another up. We need to have this heart of compassion. Yeah, look in the mirror. We mess up. Right? But that don't mean we got to stay there. That don't justify staying there. We need to change. Come back to the reality of what we've been called for, the place that we're headed to, the kingdom that is going to be set up, and where we are in that kingdom is very important to God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. What is he saying? Is these are just good sounding words? No, he's saying I've got great responsibilities for you. Shape up. Here, listen to what I'm telling you. You have a tremendous place. You're going to be walking on streets of gold. You're going to be carrying the weight of the world as our Messiah did in the millennium. You're going to be the voice behind somebody saying, this is the way to walk. Don't do that. That's not the way to go. I've been down that road. I felt the pain of sin. Don't do it. Interesting. Revelation chapter 2:11. He that saith, hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Unto the churches. That's you and I. The ecclesia, the called out ones. Let it hear what it has to say. Go and read Revelation 2 and 3 and see what it says. They're all got problems. Well, Philadelphia maybe, but kind of, too. Little, straight. Interesting. They all got problems. They all need to be overcomers. Overcomers. He that is, in Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is to say unto the churches, and to him that overcometh, I will grant to eat of the hidden manna. The hidden manna. And will give him the white stone, and in the stone a new name written. which no man knoweth save he that receives it. Wow. That's part of our inheritance. Isn't that interesting? See, I don't know. I've seen some visions, but I have not really seen the whole picture. And I'm telling you, it is a glorious place. And our Messiah, I don't know how to say it, our Messiah has so much compassion and love and eyes of fire that you can't even comprehend. I can't even betray it to you. When you see him coming, the world is going to be afraid. As I was first in my vision, I was scared out of my gourd. But then great peace came upon me when I realized what he was showing me. He's coming with great power and authority and with love and compassion to his church, but with a rod of iron to those that don't listen. It's interesting. I was only about age 12 at the time. But it's interesting when I look at it, I look back at it and I see it today in my mind. Right now it's going through my mind. I get more out of it now than I did then. I got a lot out of it then, but our Creator has a plan for each and every individual. And that individual plan is for the position that he's going to place you in the kingdom. Your talents and your abilities and your wants and your desires are what he's looking at. Where does that individual best fit? When I was teaching, I would look at my students and I'd realize their potentials. Try to figure out what they liked, what they didn't like. One individual, he was in my class, he says, I don't even really want to learn this stuff. I just want it because I'm a veteran. I'll get paid to go to school. And I says, well, as long as you're here, why don't you learn? But I could see he liked to tell people what to do. He didn't have much knowledge, but he liked to tell people what to do. So I put him in charge. Guess what? He ended up kind of starting his own business even. Because he liked to tell people what to do. But that was his talent. And I find that very interesting. You think God doesn't do that with us? Come on. He knows what you like, what you don't like, where your talents lie. Where he wants you, where he's going to put you. He's going to put you in the best place possible for you as an individual. I resisted for years to be a teacher, but he clubbed me over the head and made me beat it. But after doing it, I realized why he did it. There's a lot going on in God's eyes when he looks at each and every one of us. You're all special. I don't care if you're a baby either. I remember back 2.5 years old. I remember what God was teaching me through my aunt, through my uncles, through my mother. And through the Spirit, he's showing me a lot of things that other kids didn't understand. I don't know why, but I know he did. Even before I could talk, he was teaching me things. About how to treat my brother. How to live according to the law of God. And I could actually see his heart in vision, pulsating with love and compassion. Can you? I hope you do today. I hope you can see that he's reaching out to you, to your very heart. And wants you to understand that every word, you shall live by every word of God. And let it sink in and penetrate. And don't shut your ears. Open them up and let him in. Call him in. So as I've said earlier today, let's think about it. In the aspect of active listening skills. You know, it's an open-ended question. What is God's plan for you? I can tell you generically, to be in his kingdom, right? But request clarification. What do you want me to do here, God? He was using that teaching as a training ground for me. Because then I went and found books, and I said, well, what's a teacher's job? What's it, how does a teacher teach and all this? And I did all the research, and I wouldn't have never done that otherwise. And then I looked at the students, and I looked at what their needs were, and serving as an advisor to them and picking the courses they need to go to. I had to analyze that. I was put in a position where I had to analyze students that were messing up, let me put it that way, against God's laws. And against the college, had to work with those students and teach them how that they learned their lesson, but go and sin no more, was basically the principle that I used on them when I would counsel with them. That's what God says to us. Be attentive. Listen to what I've got to say. Hearken unto my voice. Hearken unto the Lord your God. For you are standing on holy ground. God's got it. Look around and see the shape of the world. It's not good. That's what we've had so far in this feast. Hope you take it in and drink it and remember it. Remember what God is telling you. You as an individual. What direction did he wants you to live your life? With that, I guess I'll close.